Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us, and I hope that the Lord will bless you in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God as we look at portions of the Scripture. Today I'll be preaching from John chapter 6, beginning at verse 37, and I'm going to talk to you about this subject, God's preserving grace. God's preserving grace. Now, for the last three messages, I've talked about the subject of prerequisites of entering salvation. What are the pre-requirements for a sinner to be saved? And it was in answer to a question or an accusation, actually, that a man brought against me saying that I don't preach repentance as a prerequisite to enter salvation. And he's right. I don't. Sinners are brought by God to enter salvation by faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. No one is going to enter salvation apart from faith in Christ and repentance, but neither faith nor repentance are prerequisites that we must meet out of our own goodness or will or power in order to qualify to enter heaven. Prerequisites or faith and repentance are gifts from God by which sinners enter, but the prerequisites are, number one, God's electing grace, and I preached a whole message on that. Number two, God's redeeming grace, another message on that. Righteousness, God has to choose us, righteousness in Christ, and righteousness has to be established by Christ. And then thirdly, God's regenerating grace. Life has to be given from Christ. And that's the new birth. Spoke on that last week. Well, today I want to jump to another subject talking about prerequisites again, but for a different purpose. Once a person is brought by God, once a sinner is brought by God into a state of salvation, what then is the prerequisite for entering glory? Now, people would say it this way today, for getting into heaven or going to heaven. All right? What is the prerequisite there? Well, the prerequisite, as I've entitled the message, is God's preserving grace. God must save us by His grace and His power, and God must keep us by His grace and His power. Because if left to ourselves, we would never, never make it. You say, well, the Bible says that we're supposed to continue. That's exactly right. But the only way we're going to continue, that we're going to persevere, as they say, is by God's preserving grace. And that's the prerequisite for entering heaven. We must have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice. And we must have life given by Christ through the power of the Spirit. But not only does He justify us, not only does He regenerate and convert us, He must keep us. And let me show you that. Now, I've preached from this passage several times on this program, but it's so appropriate to this subject. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 37. This is where the Lord said Himself, He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, when it speaks of all that the Father giveth Him, who's He talking about? He's talking about God's elect. There's God's electing grace, chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ. 2 Timothy 1 speaks of salvation that was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Over in John 17, Christ prayed for those whom the Father had given Him. There are those whom God chose before the foundation of the world, gave to Christ, placed all of the responsibility of their salvation upon Christ. All the conditions of salvation upon Christ. And sent Christ into the world to fulfill those requirements, to fulfill those conditions in His obedience unto death through redemption by His blood, wherein He established the only righteousness whereby God could be just to justify the ungodly. And He did that for all that the Father gave Him. Over in John chapter 10, they're called His sheep. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he says down in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Look at verse 16 of John 10. He says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. What fold is he talking about? He's talking about the Jewish fold. In other words, he's talking about some of God's elect are Gentiles. There are Jews. God has a people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, Jew and Gentile. And he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Listen to this. Them also I must bring. You see that? Now hold on to that thought. I'll read the rest of that verse in just a moment. Go back to John 6:37. I know I'm skipping around here, but I want you to see this. Verse 37 of John 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, he says. They're going to come to me. You see that? Over here in John chapter 10 and verse 16. He says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. He's going to bring them, you see that? Doesn't say he's going to beg them. Doesn't say that he's going to lean over the banister of heaven just hoping that they might cooperate or might believe or might accept him. He said, I'm going to bring them. They're lost sheep. I'm going to bring them. And he says, and they shall hear my voice. Now, what is his voice? I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's the preaching of the gospel. How God saves sinners by His grace. The gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that's how He brings them in, by faith, God-given faith. It's the word of reconciliation. God reconciled to His people through the merits of the righteousness of Christ imputed to them. Now the call is, as ambassadors of Christ, His voice. If a man preaches the word of God, he's not preaching his own word. He's preaching the voice of Christ. And he says, be ye reconciled to God on that same ground. So here in John 10 and verse 16, he said, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And verse 17 of John 10 gives us the ground of it all. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. You see, it's all based upon Christ's death, His burial, His resurrection. And His death is the assurance that all of His sheep will come to Him. Now look back at John 6:37 again. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's no doubt about that. I've heard preachers say, well, if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, then He died for you in vain. That is not so. If you don't accept Christ as your Savior, that means He didn't die for you at all. That's what the Scripture says. I know people don't like to hear that, but that's what this book says. Read the book. And so He says, they will come to me. And then look at the last part of John 6:37. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's no way I'll cast them out, He says. There's absolutely no way that Christ will ever forsake His people. Now somebody says, well, he will not forsake you, but you may forsake him. No, you won't. Because you know why? He will not let you forsake him. He will keep you. He will preserve you by his power and his grace. That is his people who truly believe on him. Now let me show you that. Look back at John 6:37, verse 38. Now this is after he said, I will in no wise cast out, verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. Now I've already talked about the prerequisite of the new birth, regeneration. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He says, and this is the Father's with us, this is the will of him that sent me, verse 40, that everyone which seeth the Son, see his glory, see his person, the glory of his person, who he is, the glory of his finished work, what he accomplished in salvation, in redemption, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see that? He'll raise him up. Now look over at John chapter 10. He's talking here to religious people, the Pharisees. And he says, then verse 24, this is John 10:24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He is the Messiah. Look at verse 26. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, now here's my sheep. Do you want to know if you're one of his sheep? Or if you're not one of his sheep? Well, he says here, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. They hear the gospel. They believe the gospel. Not a false gospel now. Now listen to me. And I'm not saying this just to make people mad or split hairs. There's a lot of people out today who claim to be Christian, who deny the true Christian gospel. There's a lot of people who are believing in a false Christ, not the one of the Bible. And that's why I always urge you on this program, in this day and age, the last days we talk about them. The last days have actually been in existence since the time of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension, and it'll continue up to his second coming. But Christ told us that in the last days, there would be more and more false religion and especially more and more false Christianity. Now, he told us that. And therefore, we're to be on our toes. First of all, we're to make sure that we study the Bible, read the Word, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to examine ourselves according to the Scripture, and that's why I urge you to examine yourself. That's why I wrote these books, the Self-Examination Series, the Rules of Scriptural Interpretation. What is salvation? What is a Christian? Read those. We offer them free of charge. Order them. Examine yourself. Get into the Word. Are you one of His sheep? Well, He says here to these Pharisees, He says, but you believe not because you're not one of my sheep. As I said in you, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. They hear the gospel. And I know them, and they follow me. Now, let's talk about the pre-requirement, the prerequisite for entering heaven's glory. Verse 28, he says, I give unto them eternal life. It's a gift. And they shall never perish. Is it any plainer? He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, I had a fellow tell me about that verse. He said, well, see there, it says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my flock. He said, but the devil can do it. Oh, no. The word man there is in italics in the King James Version, which means it wasn't in the original. Here's the way it is. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Why? Verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. He's greater than any man. He's greater than the devil. He's certainly greater than me and you. He's greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Do you see that? That's the plain teachings of Scripture. God preserves His people. And He does it by means. He does it by our perseverance. All the sheep of Christ who have been brought to hear His voice, who have been brought to enter salvation, they believe in, they rest in, they cling to, and they follow Christ. They're still sinners. They're still full of doubts and sinful doubts and fears that they have to fight every day. It's a struggle. It's a warfare. But thank God it's a warfare that the Holy Spirit is engaged with the flesh within us. That means it's a surefire victory because Christ has won the victory. And He's going to keep us. The Apostle Paul, when he was out in the world preaching the gospel, and sometimes he would come under such harsh persecution, and they even put him in prison. And he told Timothy, the young evangelist, trying to encourage Timothy to continue in the faith. And he said, Timothy, he said, the reason I do this is for the elect's sake. God has a people, and He's going to save. If it weren't for that, I wouldn't do it. But God has a people. And he said, despite all that I've suffered and all that I'm going through, in 2 Timothy 1:12, he made this statement, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able, Christ is able, to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day, against the day of suffering, the day of persecution, the day of judgment. Christ is able to keep what I've committed to Him. And what have I committed to Him? My whole salvation is committed to Christ. Not committed to me. I'm committed to Him. That's the key. In Hebrews chapter 7, he talks about how Christ is able to save to the uttermost. I believe that's Hebrews 7, 24, 25, one of those verses. Christ is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto the Father by Him. And they will persevere. Over in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, he had spoken of those who had a false profession of Christianity, evidenced by the fact that they left Christ. They apostatized, as they say. To apostatize, or apostasy, is to totally forsake Christ. Once having professed to be a believer in the true Christ, but then later totally forsaking Him, leaving Him. Now, many who call themselves Christians today would say, well, they lost their salvation. They were saved, but then they lost it. My friend, that is heresy. You see, if that makes salvation, that makes heaven's glory conditioned on your perseverance. That's not the gospel. That's against the gospel. The prerequisite for entering heaven's glory is God's preserving grace. And that's evidenced by our perseverance in the faith. Well, look at 1 John 2 and verse 18. He says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now look at verse 19. They went out from us. They left. But they were not of us. Do you see that? They were never truly members of the true family of God, the true sheepfold. They were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They just exposed what they were always, they had always been, false professors, even of the truth. But look at verse 20. He says, but you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, from Christ, and you know all things. You know better. And he says in verse 21, I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So you see, if you have that unction, that anointing, that's the power of God in the new birth from Christ, life given. If life's there, you will never leave him. Over in 1 John 3:9, here's what it says. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, the sin that he's talking about there is apostasy, totally forsaking Christ. You see, if you're in Christ, if you're born again, you're still a sinner saved by grace, and nothing you do is uncontaminated and uninfluenced by sin. That's why we need his intercessory work. But then it says here, those who, if you're born of God, you won't leave Christ. For his seed, Christ's children, his children, remaineth in him. They cling to him. They won't leave him. And he cannot sin. He cannot leave Christ because he's born of God. And then he says in verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. And whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Doing not righteousness means not clinging to Christ as our righteousness. Neither is he that loveth not his brother. You see, that's the prerequisite for entering heaven's glory. It's the keeping power of Jesus Christ, the keeping power of God who keeps us against that day. The benediction for a believer is in Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Jude 24 and 25. That's the benediction of a believer, of his life, unto him who is able to save us, to keep us from falling and present us faultless. How is he going to present me faultless? Only based upon Christ's righteousness imputed. God does not charge me with my sins. He charges me with righteousness. And then he has given me life so that I can cling to Christ for all salvation, for all forgiveness, for all eternal life and glory, all righteousness in him. He's able. I'm not. You're not. Only God is able in Christ. And that's his preserving grace, God's preserving grace. And how do I know that God is preserving me? By his grace and by his power, I will not leave Christ. I'll continue to cling to him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I have no hope but Christ. I have no forgiveness but through his blood. I have no righteousness but in him. I have no life, spiritual life, but that which is given to me freely and unconditionally through the blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God must choose me in Christ. God must redeem me by Christ. God must give me life from Christ. And God must preserve me in Christ. That's the whole of salvation for a sinner saved by grace. And there is no other way. That's why Christ said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And because he intercedes for me right now, preserving me unto glory, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ. Remember in Romans chapter 8, Paul wrote that. And he listed all of the things that the universe can throw at us, all the things that the devil can throw at us, all the things that man can throw at us. And if we're in Christ, if we're preserved by Him, if our stand before God, our right standing before God is based on His righteousness imputed, we cannot be separated from His love and His grace and His mercy. That's the whole of salvation. Again, God's electing grace, God's redeeming grace, God's regenerating grace, and God's preserving grace. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, Christ said. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of God for his people. This is the salvation that he freely and fully provides in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember what he said. He said, I give, in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Why? Because my Father, verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. There's nothing greater than God. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man, no one, no person, no thing is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, right after that, you know what happened? It says the Jews, in verse 31, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They hated that message. Now, why do men hate that message? Why does the natural man hate that message and won't receive that message? It's offensive to him because it tells us the truth that when it comes to attaining and maintaining salvation, our works and our efforts have nothing to do, in fact, less than nothing. And so we must look to Christ alone. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.